pilot of a private plane were killed today at 10:30 a.m., approximately that time, in an airplane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. The dead included 17-year-old Richie Valance, 22-year-old Buddy Holly, and R.P. Richardson, known as the Big Popper, in recording industry.
Joining KSYD in Wichita Falls, Texas, for the Snuff Garrett tribute to the late Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
Then you know why I feel blue.
We called him. And Buddy being one of the greatest guys in the world. This morning, we received a notice from Dateline Mason City, Iowa. Three rock and roll singers just hitting the big time have died in a plane crash in an Iowa farm field. The three young singers, Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and J.P. Richardson, better known as the Big Bopper, were being flown in a chartered plane by pilot Roger Peterson, who also was killed to a rock and roll concert in Fargo, North Dakota. Three guys who, the Big Bopper, after working 9 years at a radio station in Beaumont, Texas as a disc jockey, gained fame with a thing called Chantilly Lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. Richie Valens came on strong not too long ago, a young 17-year-old guy. Came on strong via Los Angeles and come up with a smash hit called Donna, the flip side hit right now called La Bamba. But he'll never know the experiences of being a really, really big star across the nation because of his death. Buddy Holly, after his big taste of success with Peggy Sue and Never Forget the Crickets, That'll Be the Day, Maybe Baby, a lot of them. And just now, he started a brand new one called Doesn't Matter Anymore, which is going to hit the charts probably in a couple of weeks. Already a very big record in the Wichita Falls area. Buddy, he couldn't have missed. Anybody could sing rock and roll any better or one of the greatest guys in the world. And all of a sudden, it's all ended in Mason City, Iowa. Richie Valens, one of the three guys. This is his big hit of the present day. Probably just like all recording companies, when they go in to record, they record usually 4 or 6 tunes at a time. And probably Richie Valens has got maybe they got 4 or 5 or 6 more songs in the can, as they say in the trade there. Maybe they got some more records in them. Maybe they don't. Maybe they were going to have a recording session tomorrow with him. Just like Buddy, we talked to his manager not long ago. You'll be hearing the interview with Norman Petty, Buddy Holly's manager, in a little while. He was due in New York next week for a recording day. They have, Norman will tell you all about it in a little while. Yeah. Oh, wow. But we talked to the Crickets while ago in Lubbock. And contrary to what it said in the paper tonight, said in the paper that the Crickets were in the bus that went ahead to their next engagement, and then the three fellows flew, and that's how they were killed. But they weren't there. They were in Lubbock at the time. The Crickets were not hurt, or they weren't even on the tour. It was Buddy by himself. He went on a weekend thing, you know. And they were all torn up about it in Lubbock. All the radio stations there. All the guys that Buddy had known for a long time, you know. I remember when he was laying brick. Started as a bricklayer, just like anybody else. He loved to sing. He used to sing, you know, in different places. You hear the stories. He started out poor, and he used to sing around town. Well, that's just the way it was. He used to sing around town. Didn't pick up much loot, and he made more money as a brick contractor. And he bought his first big car, laying brick. And he kept that car up until last year. I say there's two things a rock and roll singer buys first. That's a brand new Cadillac and a diamond ring. And I don't think I know of one that hasn't. Not very few. But you know, we let it all go to their head and everything. But Buddy didn't do that. He was just another singer and swinger and had a good time, made a lot of money, and carried on. But he remembered. That was a nice thing, you know. He didn't just go big hat and leave the group. This is one of the songs that hit all across the nation, and it stayed up for a long time. It's like Buddy said, all of his records, they don't go right to the top like the Everly Brothers and all of them, but they make just as much money because they get about the number 50 or 60 position. And they just stay there month after month, about 3 or 4 months. You just keep piling in the old loot. That's what he says. Just keep piling the old money there month after month. And the Everly Brothers, and I'm just using them as an example, but they have a smash hit, goes all the way to the top, and then it drops down pretty fast. But he just gets in one place and just stays there very mellowly, cashing in the Gitas, you know. And now this is one of them that did it. Anybody that likes rock and roll or any, you know, or any type of today's music. This is one of their biggest records. Cricket chirping, meeby beeby. All right, it's the chirping crickets right there, and maybe, baby, Buddy Holly. Buddy had a guy that helped him more than anybody. His name was Norman Petty. Probably all the, you know, older people, 25, 30, something like that. They used to dance to the music of the Norman Petty Trio, which is a very big trio across the nation. Still, they play a lot of club dates and everything. That was Buddy Holly's manager. And give you an idea of what kind of money Buddy and guys with Richie Valens and J.P. Richards, how much money they made off things like this. Just Norman's 10% of being the manager of the Crickets, just his 10% sort of kept him living very mellowly for quite a while. And not that he didn't earn it by any means. He has his recording studio and lives in Clovis, New Mexico. We talked to him earlier this afternoon on the phone.
Mr. Petty?
Yes, sir.
This is Snuff Garrett at KSYD in Wichita Falls.
How are you, Snuff?
Fine, thank you. And I don't know, I've never met you personally, but everyone knew you in the recording industry as the maker and founder of the Crickets, Buddy and the Boys. And, of course, you've had a lot of other...
You had a lot to do with that, too, you know.
Thank you very much. Buddy was a great guy. And
he was probably one of the finest young talents in America.
That's true. And he started out, you know, not doing too much around Lubbock, just trying like 28,000 other boys did, and he was lucky enough to make it, of course, with your help. Have you gotten any other word on what's happened up there?
Well, it's not the only thing. I have received a call this morning from Indiana from one of our radio station friends up there, and he said that the only thing he had heard was that the plane was a private plane, and the three other fellows and the pilot. So there were four, as far as we can gather. The
yeah,
there
are Richie Valens and the Big Bopper.
Right, and Buddy, and I believe the pilot.
Yeah, the pilot, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, Buddy had been playing. He played a show up there last night, didn't he?
Yes.
I see. And
he was on his way to the next town.
Let's see. Norman, how long has Buddy been married now?
Well, let's see. You just caught me off guard. Not very long.
No, about 4 months, I think.
Probably 4 or 5 months.
Four or five months. And where's his wife, in New York?
She's in New York.
She's in New York. I'm certainly sorry about it. And I'm very sorry to, you know, bother you like this.
Well, things like this happen. There's nothing that we can do to control them.
That's true.
We often wonder why things like it do happen.
That's true.
But, of course, there's always bound to be a reason somewhere.
Norm, does Buddy have many more records in the can?
He has two more that we did in New York. You noticed this last name of the Buddy?
Paul Ankus. Paul Ankus.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. We have two others that were done at the same time. And then I have probably some here in the can here in Clovis.
I see.
He was supposed to go in for another session this next week.
Oh,
however, the ones that we did there and the ones that I have here are the only ones that we can play.
I see. Well, he, I guess will you put most of those out? I hope you will. Some of his last songs?
It depends. Of course, there's bound to be some legal actions around.
Yeah, that's true.
Which we are not going to comment on.
I see.
But I'm sure that the other two that we did in New York will be out.
Well, good. All right, Mr. Petty, thank you very much for talking to us. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Goodbye. That's Norman Petty, the manager of Buddy Holly and the Crickets. Buddy saw $1 million worth of Norman Petty because he owed him everything in the world for getting him started. Norman took care of all of his money and everything he made, decided what to do with his money, invested. He wasn't going to let him be an overnight sensation. And then, you know, a lot of the guys, they have two or three hit records and maybe even one. They make a fortune off of it. And pretty soon it's all gone again. But Norman wasn't going to let that happen to Buddy. Buddy had his money invested in different firms and things. Like record shops, he was talking about. He called me one day and talked about record shops and what he wanted to do with some of his money. And, you know, he wasn't going to be here today, gone tomorrow. He liked the feeling of money, and he was going to make sure he kept it. And there's more of the guys that think ahead like that, you know, that have a lot of the loot, I guess. But I think one of the greatest stories in the world is how the Crickets wrote That'll Be the Day. Buddy's best friend in high school, Jerry Allison, is a drummer for the Crickets. and you'll hear Jerry in a little while. Jerry and Buddy, you know, were real good friends in high school and all through high school, and they lived in Lubbock together, and their families are real good friends, and Jerry would like to write songs, you know, and he had a girl in California, and he wrote a song one day for her, and of course, you've already heard it, Peggy Sue. Jerry wrote Peggy Sue, and then Buddy helped him out with it, and they changed it up, and it became a million seller, never to be forgotten. And not too long ago, I think you remember when we had Buddy Holly Day here at KSYD Radio, when Buddy and the guys came down after their last trip to New York, and they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. They came down and did their TV show this last summer. And we're here in town for a couple of days, and he was married 2 days before that to Peggy Sue. So, you know, it's sort of a vicious circle there. And speaking of, I asked Norman about Buddy being married. And I only met his wife one time. She's real nice. And Buddy, being 22 years of age, he left by, you know, they've been married 6 months. And his wife, she's living in New York. They were married last August 15th. And her name is Maria Elena Santiago. She's a receptionist. And Buddy told her to stop working and everything. He wanted her to stop working because he had enough money to support him. And she told him no. She wanted to keep on working. No sense, you know, when he's on the road so much and everything, that she might as well keep working. And she was in the business, too. She worked at Southern Music Company in New York, which published a lot of Buddy's hits. And after 6 months, it's all gone, the whole thing. And but what I was going to tell you a while ago, when the first big hit they had, Jerry and Buddy went to see a show called The Searchers with John Wayne. Remember the cowboy picture? Called The Searchers, starring John Wayne. All the way through it, somebody would say, you know, I'm going to kill you, John Wayne, and he'd say, that'll be the day. Everything was, that'll be the day, that'll be the day. So they left the show, and Jerry said, let's write a song called That'll Be the Day. And they did. And that's pretty clever. This is it. That was the Crickets' first big hit right there, called That'll Be the Day, written because of a big picture, The Searchers. And Buddy and the guys, it was one of those slow-rising records, just like Buddy commented all the time about all these records. This one, they sat around Lubbock, and the first time I ever met Buddy, well, this record had just come out, and I said, Buddy, what's a good side on this record? And he said, well, I'll tell you the side I like, That'll Be the Day, and it'll never do anything. The other side's the side that... we're really pushing. It's going to really be a big side called Looking for Someone to Love. And 6 months later, That'll Be the Day was number one across the nation, hit the million seller mark. Buddy was on the road. Boy, they took off like, you know, started working like beavers with busted tooth, and they went all across the nation. Last year, Buddy was home 9 days out of the whole year. Out of 365 days, Crickets were home 9 days. That's how hard they worked last year. And, you know, doing shows every night and working and playing shows every night, traveling. They went to Australia. They were a big hit in England. Went to England, Australia. This next summer, they were going to the continent. They were going over to Europe. And, you know, and, oh, wow. How much fun they had on these tours. That's all they talked about, how much fun they had on the tours. And all the guys getting together, you know, like the Everly Brothers, who was Buddy's closest friends and the Crickets' closest friends. It gets kind of tiresome, just a bunch of guys roaming around the country together, you know, playing at night and working at night, playing shows and working just about 2 or 3 hours a night and then off, nothing to do. And so, you know, you don't have time to meet too many people and get to be good friends with anybody. So they took up things like, I'm not going to say they played checkers, they played poker, you know, because it was past the time fast and something pretty educational. They got him a teacher, and took up fencing. You know, they could all go on that way too. They all took up fencing. The Everly Brothers and the Crickets, and they bought them these, you know, these little white suits with a cage face on it, and they'd be in the hotel rooms and they'd fence. You know, after they got off the shows, and that's how much fun they had. And we tried to find the Everly Brothers today. They were unavailable, and. I wanted to get them to comment on what they thought of Buddy, but we I'm sorry we couldn't find him. We'll try to do it maybe tomorrow. Maybe we can find him tomorrow. And along with Buddy, like Richie Valens, and there was Buddy. And one more guy who was a disc jockey for, he was only 24 years old, I think. 24 years of age, and took him 23 years to get to the top. He finally made it in a big way. He's been a disc jockey for 9 years. He started out at the age of 15 at a radio station in Beaumont, Texas. His name was J.P. Richardson, and he put out a record, and it was a fad at that time. I'm sure no one will ever forget the Purple People Eater, and so he got the idea to write a song called The Purple People Eater Meets the Witch Doctor, and it didn't do too much. This is it.
While walking through the woods and not talk about...
Law. That was a big bopper right there in his first record. That was the flip side of his first record. This is the one that they thought was going to come out, you know, and be a smash hit just like the Purple People Eater. And it didn't do anything. And then Mercury Records picked up the master. They thought so much of the Purple People Eater meets the Witch Doctor. They bought the master from J.P. from the big bopper, J.P. Richardson, and they put it out. Still nothing happened, you know. All across the nation, jocks had listened to it, and they played it some, and it didn't sell too well. So then, the jockeys, you know, they, like they do, some I've known, they listen to the other side of the record, the B side of the record, they call it. And that's how Chantilly Lace came into being. The flip side of the Purple People Eater Meets the Witch Doctor was Chantilly Lace. And this one, it took 4 or 5 months, just like Buddy waited 6 months for that'll be the day to hit the top. And it was a long way, too, boy, nerves every day. And you'd see him... He'd see me on, and he didn't have too much money and wanted to put out another record, and there wasn't too much loot, and finally the record broke, and everything was cool, you know. But the flip side of this record went right to the top, went to the number one position. Here's a big popper. Some Chantilly Lace.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the big popper speaking.
Oh, baby, that's the one I like.
That was a big bopper right there, and a Chantilly Lace, and a pretty face, and a ponytail hanging down, which is a saying all across the red, white, and blue not too many months ago. And the big bopper brought it into being. This is a tribute to Buddy Holly, and we're not taking any sides or anything, but Buddy is one of the best friends I've ever had. And he's the greatest guy in the world. And he was killed this morning, or early this morning, or last night, in a plane crash in Mason City, Iowa. And along with him, the big bopper's dead, and also Richie Valens. If there's anything of Buddy's you want to hear, I think we have just about everything of his. If there's anything in particular of Buddy's you want to hear, because we're going to go on here and, you know, till they pull us off over these, because I sit and listen to them. And a lot of these albums are scratched up because I play them a million times at home. And I don't ever play Buddy Holly records because I play them because he's a friend of mine too, but I play them because they're good, and they're good rock and roll. So if you got something of Buddy's you want to hear, you call 723-0791 and I'll play it. You know, that's all I can say. Because this is to him, and you know, do it now. This is a song that this showed what they call in rock and roll versatility. One thing about Buddy, no one else could record his songs, and I've heard people say it since he said it, and people here in town, and because nobody could sing like Buddy. He sounded like he's crying, sound like a little girl crying a lot of times, you know, and all that, and among the guys, it was kind of a joke, because, you know, they'd kid him about it, and he took it good-naturedly, but this showed one side of Buddy that, you know, that no one else could copy. Buddy Holly, I'm going to love you, too. Buddy Holly right there, and I'm going to love you too.
Right, Mitch.
And we know it's going to go big. And this is Buddy Holly, plus 97 violins just settling around, called It's Raining in My Heart. If there's something of Buddy's you want to hear, call 723-0791. I'll play it.
The sun is out.
There's Charles Hardin Holly right there. is reigning in my heart. Buddy Holly is, he's 22 years old, and I'll never forget the last time I went off to see him. They called me from Lubbock, and they said, "We're in town." I said, "Come on up." So I took the weekend and went up to see him. I flew up in an airplane, which is a pretty clever way to go, and I went to Lubbock, and we went out to eat. He and Jerry Allison and I went out to eat, and the night I was going to come back, and so he said, we were all sitting there eating, and so